World View with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. View the world of business from a different perspective with Emirates First and Business. Fly Emirates. Fly better.
Always great to welcome Adam Gilchrist on the line from London to chat to us about some of the big international stories and how they're being received in the UK. Good morning to you, Adam.
Morning, Pippa.
We're going to start in the US and Donald Trump squeezing in a tweet as he headed off on a round of golf, suggesting he agrees with the speculation about a coup attempt against him.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? He tweeted of illegal and treasonous behavior and an illegal coup attempt, as he put it. This is really coming out of a former FBI boss, Andrew McCabe, who says 2 years ago there were some talks about, which also involved the deputy U.S. Attorney General, whether a clause could be invoked which would deem the president unfit. There was a lot of stuff, I remember, about the mental health check as well, although that's an annual event, isn't it, for an American president. A senior senator, Lindsey Graham, called it an attempted bureaucratic coup. And I love Donald Trump's defense of self. There's a lot of explaining to do. I mean, there is clearly a lot of explaining to do on this, but as he put it, a lot of explaining for the millions of people who elected a president they really like and who's done a great job for them. So, I mean, obviously, he got in a blowing of his own trumpet here. And then, just to coincide with this, again, more legal ramifications, as 16 American states have actually begun suing President Trump over the Mexican border wall. He's not having a quiet presidency, is he? He's not just going to go away somehow.
That's for sure. Okay. Let's move a little closer to home for you, Adam, and just the desperate plight of people fleeing across the English Channel on boat. You have another 34 poor souls who've been saved from the sea this week.
Yeah, brought ashore by a border force patrol. It was a classic situation. These 34 were men, women and children on an overcrowded rubber dinghy. They were crossing an extremely busy waterway at night, coming across from Calais to Dover. Three men arrested as possible traffickers. And in many ways, although it looks ridiculous, you know, compared with, say, trying to cross the Mediterranean or the sea to Australia or any other of the various migrant routes in the world, it's only 21 miles, but boy, could you get bumped into by a big ship or a medium-sized ship.
Absolutely.
And in fact, also the tides are terribly strong, so you're risking life and limb. But it has also exposed, according to some MPs, a lack still of Border Force patrol boats. One is missing from the English Channel. It was meant to be there, hasn't got there yet. A Royal Navy ship put in a fleeting appearance before Christmas, and yet isn't there. There's zero air surveillance. And so all sorts of experts and MPs are saying, hang on a moment, you know, we know about this problem. It's been there a year or more. Why is it still just basically one patrol boat and blind luck?
Yeah. In the meantime, what's happened to the 34 people, Adam?
The 34, we don't know their nationalities even at this stage. I mean, they've sort of tended to be Iranian, Iraqi and Afghan. But, I mean, that's a tend to be. The 34 have all been looked after in a centre. And they will indeed be duly processed, but it might well be they get sent back to France, back to the holding camp near Calais, or I suppose it's possible they might seek asylum.
Okay. Adam, finally, I know very little about boxing, next to nothing, in fact. So you're going to have to explain for us why the future of the sport is changing. Tell us more.
Yeah. It's always been about money, hasn't it? Mm. For probably 100 years or so, and not about the sort of sport itself necessarily, although I'm sure the fighters might feel it's about the fight. But anyway, what we have here is a huge deal that the British boxer Tyson Fury has just agreed. Roughly speaking, $100-something million, or 1.5 billion rand, I believe. Five fights for that, and as Tyson Fury put it, just for fun. He's an outspoken, controversial, giant bruiser of a bloke. But here's why boxing's becoming ungovernable. As I say, it's always been about money. Fighters have always signed big deals. But at the heavyweight end, nearly all of them now have exclusivity deals with media channels. So Fury has signed this huge deal with ESPN. But his fellow heavyweight and another Brit, Anthony Joshua, has signed up with DAZN. And Deontay Wilder, who's the leading American and one of the sort of big three, if you like, he's signed with Showtime. So they're all competing media companies. Can they possibly do business? TV tycoons have always pulled the strings, but they're actually owning the puppets now. And the point is, they could just say, do you know what? My man's not going to fight your man because we want to keep exclusive rights. He's going to have to go and fight the other guy. And the hell with the various boxing organizations, the WBAs, the WBCs, etc., etc.
Because how do you get a title holder the best of the sport if their main contenders can't play each other?
Exactly that. Exactly that. Can you imagine a cricket world in which South Africa didn't play England or, well, we're going back into the recent history, aren't we? It's a horrible thought that it's TV money that would decide that. Let's put it that way.
It is indeed. Adam Gilchrist, a great day to you further. Thanks for the update there on some of the big international stories. Now, every day on the Emirates Worldview, we've been asking you to send us a question on any world topic that you want to know more about. A reminder that you stand a chance to be 1,000 Rand wealthier by sending us a voice note with a question, just like our listener Karen has done.
Why is it that in America, where tornadoes and hurricanes are prevalent, all the homes are built from wood, where in South Africa, where these natural disasters do not occur, all our homes are made of brick?
Karen, that is a question my family asked when we moved to the United States in the 1980s, because it was one of the first things we noticed. The houses looked so fragile, and we were living in a tornado-prone area. So I'm as intrigued as you are to hear the answer to that question. We turned to architect Hugh Fraser for a response.
The architecture that we have in South Africa and that is practiced in the United States come about partly from our side as a result of history, because we were colonized by the British and we kind of took on their style, which was primarily brick and mortar. Whereas in the United States and to some extent Australia and New Zealand, they use a lot of timber framed building because they have access to big forests. And to answer sort of in relation to the weather patterns, you would have thought that they would have adapted in some way, and to some extent they have. They have got something that's called hurricane windows, which is glass that has been laminated. But in the hurricane that happened last year, the only building that was left standing in Florida was one that had been designed to withstand winds of about 240 miles per hour, and it was primarily concrete and brick.
Thank you so much, Hugh, for the explanation. And congratulations, Karen, for having your Emirates Worldview question answered. You have won 1,000 Rand courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates Business Class to experience a new level of comfort.
If you have a question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-567-1567 or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on capetalk.co.za.